Okay, good morning. Masechet Eruvin, Daf Lamed Hay. And we ended off yesterday, literally at the two lines at the end, the last line at the bottom. V'im b'yom tov mali ir mali sadeh. Let's quickly recap. We spoke over here about the migdal, right? You put the Eruvin in the migdal and you lost the key, etc. So the question was, where is this migdal? So we wanted to say the migdal is actually in the ear, right? Because if it was in the sadeh, right, you wouldn't be able to say, so the question is, where is it? When is it? Is it on Yom and Yontif, not Shabbos? And is it in this town and not in the field? Would make a difference. So if you want to say, I don't understand. How can it be in the town, in Yontif, not on Shabbos? Because Rabbi Eliezer said, if it's in the ear, it's okay, and if it's in the side, it's not okay. And if it's on Yontif, then why do we care where it is? You can carry on Yontif in the side here as well. That's what the Gemara is up to at the moment. So difficult to say that this Migdal is, we're speaking about a case on Yontif when the key got lost, etc. And on Shabbos, it wouldn't be okay on Yontif, but it is okay. The Gemara says, V'chisura Mechtra. And this is really what's going on over here. We have got that's a corrupted Braita. And we need to reconstruct the Braita. And then things will make much more sense. Let's say after the brighter. Natnoba Migdal, you put the key the Eruv in the Migdal. V'na'al v'fanav v'avad ha'mavteach. Okay, so far no real change. Can't compete with the dogs. So now you put them, so v'avad ha'mavteach. Harei zeh Eruv. In such a case, it's an Eruv. But I made a moment, when would it be an Eruv? Because the Tanakhama says it's a kosher Eruv, even though you put in you've lost the key. So now, but I made a moment, when do we say this? Be Yom Tov on Yontif. About Shabbat, Ein Eruvo Eruv. Okay, so far the Tanakhama now makes the distinction now between Yontif and Shabbos. Right, look at Rashi with Shabbat, Eruv. Why? Delo Sharu Le Rabbana Le Mistar. Because Rabbanan didn't allow you on Shabbos to break this place down. So you lost the keys. You couldn't get in. Therefore, you and your Eruv, for intents and purposes, are in separate Rishayot. Nimtza Mavteach. Now, if you found the key, Rashi says they're on Shabbat. Nimtza Mavteach b'Shabbat. Bein be'ir, bein besadeh, ein Eruvo Eruv. Still doesn't help you. Why? Look at Rashi over there. Delayt leh de Rabbi Shimon. We don't hold Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, remember, that the Gagot and the Karpafiot and the Chatzerot, etc., are all the same Rishut. So therefore, Tanakama, if he would have held the coin to Rabbi Shimon, he would have said, no problem, you can on Shabbos bring the key through the Chatzer, Gag, etc., and manage to bring the key. But we don't have Rabbi Shimon, we don't hold Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, you can't carry the key. So bottom line is, no, you can get the key to the Eruv, so the Eruv can't be eaten. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, by ir eruvo ir eruv, basade ein eruvo ir eruv. Right? Now Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, he does. Why? By ir eruvo, why is eruvo eruv in the ear? Can Rabbi Shimon? Because Rabbi Eliezer hold Rabbi Shimon. So Chachamim don't hold the Rabbi Shimon of the Gagot and the Karpavot and the Chach, all one Rishut, so you can't get there. Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, you can use Rabbi Shimon's Shita. They're all one Rishut, and therefore on Shabbos you could get, you found the key. Amar echad gagot vechad chatzerot vechad karpafiot v'shut echad hain lekeilim sheshavtu betochan. And because the key was lost there already at Barashmashot, and they lost the key, and the key was in that place, it's shavat there, and therefore you could bring it. Right? So it says echad betochan besadeh ein betochan. And the Gemara says, and then besadeh Ain eruv or eruv karabana. Right. So in the fields, why does Rabbi Yehuda make a distinction now between the fields and the sadeh? Now we understand, because when it's in the fields, there's no Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says chatzerot, gagot, karpafiot. All these areas are one big reshut, but sadeh is not part of that reshut. Therefore, on Shabbos you can't bring it in the sadeh, but on if in the chatzer or whatever in the karpafiot you could bring it. So now basically things have made sense. Yeah.
The statement chasur meya chasera, is that used often in the Gemara?
All the time. Chasura mechsera is a standard classic solution to when we ask kashas on a brighter, and we try and we see that it doesn't make sense to explain the bright in a certain way. That's where the problem over here. How do we explain on the one hand that the bright is talking about Yom Tov and not Shabbos? When nobody else says you can bring it, you can carry it. What do we care on Tov Sadeh? Now suddenly we realize that even on Shabbos we're speaking about over here, find the key on Shabbos, and Sadeh, no, because we don't hold Rabbi Shimon, Gagot, Chatzor, etc. Yes, because he holds Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Eliezer is speaking now in the framework of Rabbi Shimon's philosophy of where it make a difference where the key was found on Shabbos, because some places on Shabbos we can carry, some places we can't carry. So you don't have to now say, how can it be Yom Tov Shabbos? Yom Tov would be one set of circumstances, Shabbos other set of circumstances, Tanakama. Does not Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer hold of Rabbi Shimon, so he can say you can't carry whatsoever, and Rabbi Eliezer will say you can carry depending where you found it, because of Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shimon. That's a very common, answer in the world where we have a discrepancy in the bright itself. Okay. Then what's like this? Rabbi Yosef, Amrit Ravayu, they give a different answer. Right, so the first answer we gave yesterday was, we're speaking about a block, an air block type of migdal, and that was the problem. The question was, could we break it down? Could we break it down, etc.? Rabbi and Rav Yosef have a different answer. They say, what is this migdal? What migdal are we speaking about? We're in the Mishnah, we set off to the Mishnah, we said, Va'amai, hum makom echad v'hum makom acher. So we said, no, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Tavayu, hach migdal shel levanim, as we're talking about a migdal of levanim. Here we've got a new answer. Rabbi Yosef say, hach migdal shel eitz askim, we want a migdal of eitz. It's made of wood. So how come? So now we said, and Rabbi Eliezer says, if you don't know the keys, it's not an Eruv. What are we talking about? So he says, it's a wooden Eruv, made of eitz. The mar sabar klihu, v'ein binyan bekelim, v'ein stir bekelim, v'mar sabar oil hu, uplukte dahanet. No, come in a second. What's going to be a simple machloket? When we had this before, Shabbos as well, we said there is a kelim. Is there binyan bekelim? We said ein binyan bekelim. Remember that? We said ein binyan bekelim. Let's see. Ein lemanim kos brocha karmelit. Okay, I didn't write it down, which is a great, great, great pity. Because then we'd know where it was. We learnt in clear in Shabbos ein binyan bekelim, right? And that's a very, very important halacha. We say ein binyan bekelim. So if we've got a kli, putting it together on Shabbos, not called building. Same, likewise, taking it apart, not called building. So if this migdal is a kli, then we haven't got a problem taking it apart on Shabbos. Right? So this is mar sabar, right? For ein binyan bekelim, ein binyan bekelim. Umar sabar ohel hu. So the machloket is it a kli or is it an ohel? Let's just read it again properly now, more fluidly. Rabbi Yosef Amrit Ravayu, hachav migdal shel eitz askinan. The mar sabar klihu, v'ein binyan bekelim, v'ein stir bekelim, umar sabar ohel hu. So the one who says it's ohel will say it's not a kli, it's an ohel. Right? And the one who says it's a kli will say, no problem, on Shabbos take it apart. If it's an ohel, it's a tent, it's like a house, and the stir, you break it down, you can't take it apart. And the Gemara says, and just like they argue around the machloket tanai. And the argument that they have is on a machlok tanai, which is a Mishnah, we have seen this before that. Titnan, hekish al gabe shida tevo migdal tamein. Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Shimon, metaharin. So what's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Hekish, the third wide lines of Rashi at the top. Hekish, zav, a zav, who's an aviyah votatuva, right? Tuma, smacks like this. Boom with his fist of punches, but he grow four. Al gabe shida, on top of a shida, like a cabinet, a unit. So he had tamein, right? So if he smashes it. Remember now, a zav is metame, or b'maga, or b'masa, right? Remember masa and niset. If he moves something, if he doesn't touch it, but he moves it. Remember, just moving it becomes tame. If it's a kli. Can be mekabel tumah from a zav because a zav is an avatuma. If it's a ohel, so a house doesn't become tumah, doesn't mekabel tumah because it's a big thing, so it doesn't mekabel tumah. So now, if a zav makes a tame, then it means the kli. If he doesn't make a tame moving it, then it means it's an ohel. So the question is, that's the same of Lockheed we're trying to say over here. So he says, look at Rashi over here. So kish rat tamei mipnei shehesitan, he moved it. Ukagon shaya lavush Beit Yad, he had a glove on, said Rashi. That's the Chiddush Aviya. So he couldn't touch it. Lo matame v'negia. Inami shehekishu b'chatichat etz shebiyado. Or he hit him with a piece of wood in his hand. So he hit him with something that there wasn't negia, there wasn't touching. Right? And yet it became tamei. So it became tamei tumat heset, by being moved. Right? Look what's going on over here. Rabbi Yehuda lechem that they say that is tahor. Why? Because this shida, this big cabinet, wasn't a kli. So that's what the Gemara is to try and say. Ma lav b'hai kemiflagei. Umar sabar kliu, umar sabar oelu. So once it was a kli, and therefore it was a kabel tumah beheset by being moved by the zav. And the other one says no, it's an oelu. Look at Rashi, v'lo ma kabel tumah. So Amar Abaya, Sabazu of a Tisbara. You really think that's the solution of you have a Tisbara? Look at Rashi, the time Mishum Oil Velav Oilu. You think that's the machloket? The machloket's around whether it's oil or not oil. That's not the machloket. Vahatanya, haven't got a bright that says oil the nisait tamei kli v'eno nisait tahor. So via oil the nisait tamei. So it's a completely different story of you have Uktani Saif, and the Saif to their bright says what? The im hayu nisutin Tameim, both of them, both the Ohel and the Kli. He says, Zeh klal, Niset Machmat Kocho Tamei, Machmat Ra'ada Tahor. If it's his Koach that is making it, causing it to move, Machmat Kocho, look at Rashi, Shehisit et Akli or et Ohel, either way, Mamash Shenitku Mimoshavo Mashu. So even the Ohel, we wanted to say there's a difference between oil and a kli. Like our Gemara, we're saying the difference between oil and a kli. That's why we're trying to make the machloket based on that machloket tanaim. It's trying to say it's a parallel machloket. It says you can't. Because there, even if it was the ohel and it moved properly, right? However, it was machmatra adah, but if it was the tremor, in other words, the response, let's say that he was like, I don't know, Og Melech HaBashan, and he trampled on the ground, right? So he's trampling on the ground. You can imagine every time the giant smacks down on the ground, the whole earth moves like this around him and the tent moves. That's not heset. That's not kocho. That's not his direct. That's koach de kocho. That's a second, it's a derivative of his koach. That's not an isur heset. Right? That's called ra'ada. Right? Like the trembling, like the earth trembling. It says, machmat ra'ada, she tipeach beraglav bekarka, he stamped on the ground, umachmat ninu akarka, because the earth trembling, niset akli, afapi shenitek min haaretz, tahor, de koach kochohu. That's the machloketia. A machloketia in this Mishnah, you try to say that this machloketia is a parallel machloket to there. It's not true. The machloket there is about koach de kocho kocho. Okay, he says over here like this. Now, he says, "Actually, he said machmat kochot, where machmat yada tahor." Ella amar, so therefore, you can't pitch the machloket of here as the same as two. Ella amar abaya saying like, "What's going on here?" The kula amar he said machmat kochot tamei machmat yada tahor. V'hachem b'radam machmat kochot askinam. We're dealing about that. V'hachem, this is the machloket in that mishnah. The marasav have he said, the marasav lo have he said. So therefore, abaya comes and says, "No, completely different." That what we try to say that Rabba for Rav Yosef, right? There was a migdal. And they're arguing about binyan b'stir, and our Mishnah is whether it's stira or binyan b'kli or not. And parallel to that Mishnah, which is proven is not the same, that Mishnah is something else. That Mishnah is even a kli, even an ohel, would become tamei beheset if it was kocho. But that Mishnah, the machlok is kocho or kocho de kocho. Okay? The marker has said, what was that? Umat nitin. So that's what our Mishnah speaking about. Umat nitin, b'may mok binanla. So what's our Mishnah talking about then, if this Migdal story? Abayev Ravid Amitarvayu B'man'ul V'katir B'matna Askinan. What's going on here? B'man'ul V'katir, look at Rashi. B'man'ul V'katir, so he says, Katir B'matna, Kashur Haman'ul B'chevel. This is our Mishnah. We've got the key. None of the key is lost. The key is there, but it's tied to a rope. And you need a knife or a scissors to cut it. That's the problem. Look at Rashi the Matnitin. The Eru b'mayim mokminana dahana kula alma igadolhu ohelhu. Everyone agrees the biggest in ohelhu. V'amay Eruv or Eruv. How come it's Eruv is Eruv there? At the end of the day, we haven't got the key. I katan she'elam machzik abim saya belach klihu u'may taimet rabbi Yezir. He says, either way, mi'manav shach, if it's big, everybody agrees it's oil. And if it's small, when it gets a kli, so how come Rabbi Eliezer would say, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah says, "Im eino yodash maftach bim komo eino eruv." Doesn't make sense. Because if it's a kli, it's small, everybody says you can take it apart. There's no stirub kli. So how come Rabbi Eliezer says you can't use it? And if it's big, it's an ohel, then everybody says you can use it. Right? That there is stira. Right? So how come Tanakama says eruv or eruv? So that's the Gemara's posh. That's our bias kasha over here. So therefore, he says that our case over here is that there is a key, just as tied up with a rope, and you have to have a knife to cut it off. If you could have taken it off the rope with your hands, with your fingers, shapidami, no problem. I feel Rabbi Eliezer, you know, let's say you can use it. The ain chaticha asura. We learned this in Yilchot Shabbos, if you remember. Cutting, stam, just cutting something on Shabbos is not an issue. Chaticha asura elu b'mechubar, only if it's attached to the ground, then it's like pruning. Aval hacha, just called mekalkelhu, just as you're doing kilkul. There's no purpose in this cutting. You're on, nothing is good is coming out of it. Okay, we're getting the key. I'm saying in terms of the actual act of cutting, I remember we spoke about tearing a packet of chips open on Shabbos. And we said there that it's one of those halachas that ain't morinka. You don't tell people this. But that's the halacha. We said that on Shabbos. There's no problem with tearing. Tearing is time kilkul. Kilkul don't ask you on Shabbos. So wouldn't it be a problem? We could just tear it off. And the mechubar of kilkul who v'shari. K'letan masechet beitza, davlam l'alef. Where we said over there, chotamot shebekeilim matir umafkir v'chotech. So you can just take these seals off, etc. V'af agav dahach o'elu, even though it's ohel. On the land, you can't cut. Why? There it looks like you're breaking things down, but also not really soter. You're opening a door. So the cutting is just kilkul. We were gozer when it is tied close to the ground. Why? Because it looks like it's pruning. That's a gzeira ben hashmashot. And we said Rebbe is the Tana of the Mishnah. So any the gzeira ben hashmashot wouldn't be a problem if you could use it with your hands. Right? So what's the problem over here? It says, because you need a sakina, you need a knife. So Tanakama sabalek Rebbe Yossi, the Amar kola ked mitanin b'shabbat chutz mi masara gadol v'yetet shom achreshav. We saw that 100 times. So Rebbe Yossi says, no problem. Rabbi Eliezer savar la k'Rabbi Nechemia, the Amar afilu talit, afilu tarvad, ein italin el latore tashmishan. Look at Rashi, v'ikar tashmisho shel sakin, lo lachtoch chavalimu, el lechem v'basar v'ochelin. So the machloket here is a different machloket altogether. He says, at the end of the day, we've got over here, the Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say, what's our case? Our case is that the key isn't lost. The key is there, but it's tied to a rope. And the only way to undo it is to cut it. And now, do we allow you to bring a knife to cut it or not? That's the machloket. Chachamim say, yes, no problem. Therefore, you can use the Erev if you've got the key. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, because you can't cut it unless you can only use it for its slichus. V'hachi, peligro, kudrashi, tanakame, leitle, Rabbi Nechemia, hilchach, Erev, v'Erev. He hasn't got this problem of limiting the use of kalim on Shabbos. The psasik le lemitna. And Rabbi Eliezer omer, im ba'ir avad, if it's in the city, it got lost. I raise the Erev, why? If it's lost and you find it in the town on Shabbos, you can bring it through the Karpafiot, but it's in the Sade, and I don't know how we get back to Sade, to be honest with you. How does he get back to Sade? Now I'm confused. You can't, if it's in the field. The parallel here would be like this, that if we speak about the Migdal, just like you can't get to the key because we haven't hold of Rabbi Shimon, and we can't use the knife because Rabbi Nechemia says that even if you found it, you wouldn't be able to bring it back. The same idea, but that's the parallel, that you haven't got access to the knife to cut the rope, so therefore you can't open it, either the key is lost and therefore you can't bring it back, or you can't use the kli. That's the parallel, and therefore we understand the machloket now between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, the Mishnah Keretz says like this: Nit galgel chutz l'tchum. So now, if you put the bread there, your food there, in an area to make an eruv, and it rolled out, it still was there; it wasn't lost, but it was outside your tchum where you were going to be. Remember, your tchum was. This is now, I think, easier for me to understand as well. What is your tchum? What does it mean, your tchum? When I make my eruv, we saw yesterday that you have to walk to the farthest point of your 2,000 amas from where you are now. And that's your Eruv. You can't decide to make, you can't make your Eruv 800 meters from your house. You have to go the full 2,000 amas and find that exact spot and then put your Eruv down. And there you kone your Dalal Amot, because now like any Rishna Rabbim, you can walk within Dalal Amot and carry your food. And that's called your Tchum. Right?
If you want to just only walk to 2,000 amos from the 800 meters, surely you can do that.
No, you can't. Your tchum has to be at the end of the 2,000 amos. You can then just not use the whole 2,000 amos to walk from afterwards. And just walk 800 meters from there. So we saw it in the Rashi yesterday. We saw it yesterday or 2 days ago.
What it meant that you do it 2,000 meters, you only do 800 meters. But if you don't need the whole 2,000 meters from the end of the Eruv, then why do it?
Because you have to make your Eruv, when you corner your Eruv, we saw that was our kasha that we asked. We said yesterday we had the whole sugya about why didn't we say hoil? Remember, we had the whole sugya of hoil, and we said, why didn't we say hoil? Our kashya for hoil, that kashya that we asked about this guy who sent his shaliach, right? Who sent his shaliach to make the Eruv, right? We said, why didn't we say hoil on Erev Yom Tov Shabbos? We said, why didn't we just say oil? Okay, I don't want to waste too much time now finding it, but I will find you the Rashi. Rashi says, therefore, Alma, the Kula, Alma says, the Kula Alma, you have to walk to the end of your Tchum.
I understand, but...
Yeah, I found it. Go look at Lamed Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom. Lamed Gimel, that was 2 days ago, right? Friday's stuff in the bottom. Four lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Ketani Mihat. However, Rashi says, according to all opinions, we learn as follows. Arev, the person making the Eruv, Tzarich Loholich Eruvo Lesof Alpayim Ama. The Ama Tzarich Lolicho. Why? Why did we say Hoil? I could have gone. So I didn't go, but I could have gone. Like we said, with the same thing in the Kabbalah. So the din, Steve, is why? I don't know why. Right? Accept it as an axiom. When you're making your Eruv, you want to only walk 2,800 amas from your house, make the Eruv at the end of 2,000, and then walk only 800. And you know what? If you decide to change your mind, you've got another 1,200 amas to walk. If you make your Eruv 800 amas from your house, because you only want to walk 2,800 amas, and then you walk, well, it turns out on Shabbos that you're stuck, you can't go that extra amma even. So therefore,
I don't understand, but I thought the hoil was to prove that he could have walked 2,000 amas, but he only walked 800 amas.
No. The Rashi proved over here with the what Rashi's saying over here is said like this: Al korech ulemacha yelech veyire madanya shosham v'yechshechalav yehel le'arut lishter ve'im avad yishaveto. Our question was, why do you have to go at all? We said yes. When we had the basket dangling, and it was the baskets with above 10 tfachim. So we said, no, why is this still a kosher Eruv? Because hoil, we could have slanted the basket and brought it into the 10 tvachim. Therefore, it says, if it's in the 10 tvachim. So we said, oh, yeah, I understand it. If we can use the hoil, then why do we make the shaliach schlep on Thursday afternoon, take the Eruv, bring it back on Thursday night, then we schlep back on Friday late afternoon with the Eruv, 2,000 amas both times, so it's 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 6,000 amas we're going to schlep the Eruv for, not really, because next time we're going to walk there anyhow. Right now, on Friday night, 2,000, and come back, so 8,000 amas we're making the guy walk, why? Just say hoil. So now, if it wasn't such a big deal like you said, you can make your Eruv 400 amas away, big deal. Rashi's not saying that. Rashi said, everybody agrees that when you make your Eruv, you have to go to the end of the 2,000 amas.
But there's another aspect, if you make it 800 away, then he can still go 1,200 in the opposite direction from his house, because the Eruv shifts only 800, and then now the Eruv is 800 from his house, and he can still go from his house
But he still can't use 2,000 amas. He still.
He wants to go in the opposite direction of his house, whereas if he does the full 2,000, then the border is at his house.
So the guy must make up his mind where he wants to go.
Yeah.
Right? And the halakha, by the way, is that if he's not sure where he wants to go, so he makes two Eruvim, one in the northern direction, 2,000 amas, and one in the southern direction, 2,000 amas. And then he, on Shabbos, he decides which one he wants to go to, and then he's got the full 4,000 amas, but only in one direction. So what you're saying here is that he's got both directions. It doesn't work like that. Peter, let's carry on. Right? So now, Nidgayel Chutz L'Tchum. So now, remember, he made his Eruv. Okay, let's come back to it. I'll qualify if I'm right or not, but according to that Rashi, it seems like that, but I'll double check today, right, about what I'm saying. But it seems that you've got to make the Eruv at the end of the Tchum. So assume that he did. So he made his Eruv right at the end of the Tchum, and now it comes on Shabbos morning, and his Eruv has rolled over a few meters to the right, and is now outside his Dalet Amot. Or Nafal Lav Gal, or some big mound fell on top of it, and it's covered up. Look here, in this case of here, since the Eruv, the first Mishnah, the halacha that I read out, now I'm going back, right? It's got Vyesh Beto Shu Lansham Ad Eruvo Yotermi Apaima Ba, because this thing fell out the way. The Bimanav Shach, Kol Hechid the Kane Shvita, however you look at, wherever he was Kone Shvita, Iba Veto, Iba Eruvo, Lo Matzil Amazil Mishkle, he can't now go and get it from his house, it's 2,000 Amas, and from where he is now on Shabbos, it's four Amas out. So he's stuck, he can't get to his Eruv. Right, that's the first case. Or, Nafalav Gal, says Rashfaz Ben Gemara, Debai, Mara Vachatzin Lifnuya. We're going to see in the Gemara, it says we're going to need a spade or a shovel or a hoe to get it out. Tavi Melocha Velo Shvut. Very important. Remember, we saw that the Rebbe says that only a Shvut and Ishud Rabbana and Lord Gazu Ben Ashmashot. But a Melocha of Shabbos, if it's exactly because of a Melocha, that's a different reason altogether, right? Because then even Ben Ashmashot, it's Asr. Everybody agrees. So we'll see in a moment that this case over here of having to dig out the mound, this pile of junk, doesn't help. So it's covered up with his Eruv, he can't use Eruv. Or Nisraf Truma. It was an Eruv which was made by Truma. Remember, we saw that Truma was kosher, we said, because a Kohen could eat it, so he could make it, Israel could do it as well. So the Nisraf the Truma, the Nitmeit Mibod Yom. It got burnt, the Truma got burnt, or got became Tameh, but already Mibod Yom. Not on Shabbos, because on Shabbos would be okay, on Shabbos would be all right, because Ben Ashmashim was a good Eruv. But seeing Mibod Yom, already Erev Shabbos, it was basically no good Truma. Eino Eruv. Right? Look at Rashi there, Truma Nit Venitmeit. Neither he can use it or anybody else for that matter. I guess it would be an Eruv. In all these three cases, we say Eino Eruv, Eino Eruv. Now, Meshach HaSheicha. So that was when it was Mibod Yom. However, it was Meshach HaSheicha. Once it got dark already, look at Rashi. Kfar Kana Eruv. He already made the Eruv. Ben Hashmashot. V'Shabbat Hoyil V'Hutra Hutra. So therefore, on Shabbos it would be okay. Why? Ben Hashmashot was Hutra. So the Eruv is Hutar Mutar for me on Shabbos as well. Hareze Eruv. That's what the Talakama says. So if it was Mibod Yom, Eino Eruv. If all these things happen, Misha Chashaycha, it's a good Eruv. Na'im Safek, now it's a question. We're not sure. Look at Rashi, Mibod Yom, Misha Chashaycha. We're not sure now. Did this stuff fall in it? Did it become burnt? Did it become Tameh? Right? All these things, was it or Mibod Yom? So we put an Eruv down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We went. We're not sure. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omrim, Harei Ze Chamar Gamal. Rabbi Meir says this is Chamar Gamal. We'll explain in a second. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Safek Eruv Kasher. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon say that a Safek, this is unbelievable. Listen to the Safek Eruv Kasher. If there's a doubt, we go to Kula. And Rabbi Yossi, Avtumus Heid Mishum Chamisha Skainim, Al Safek Eruv Shekasher. Rabbi Yossi, Avtumus, right, he gave Eirut, and when it comes to Eruv, Safek Kasher, that would appear to us as pretty simple. Why? Because the Eruv is a Salwan to Rabbanan, like we spoke last night. Right, but Safek Rabbanan Lakula shouldn't be a big chidush for us whatsoever. Okay, just quickly go back and look here. What does it mean of Yaharezi Chamar Gamal? So Chamar is a donkey driver, and Gamal is a camel driver. Okay, so you got a Chamar Gamal. Rabbanu Chananel explains it very nicely over here. If you look at, just leave Rashi out for a moment, look at the second last Rabbi Chananel there. He says, Arei zeh chamar gamal. Peirush, what's it mean, chamar gamal? Derech chamor bahanaga. Ve derech gamal b'meshicha. He says, the way you drive a donkey is from the back. you smack, you know, the bung, you manhig it, you force it to go from behind. And a camel, you see guys always walking in front of a camel. You never walk behind a camel, probably kick your head off, right? But you always walk and you're putting a camel by its mouth. A donkey, on the other hand, you're standing behind it. Donkeys can't really kick like horses. They can't kick very hard. And you stand behind it and you just give it a whack and it's moving. So now he says, what's going on over here? Misha yeshto chamor v'gamal. Now you got a problem, right? Because you want to ride, you got a camel and a donkey. So what are you doing? You got to walk in between them. You got your camel behind you and your donkey in front of you. You're pulling the camel and smacking the donkey, right? That's what you're doing. Right, it's quite an interesting euphemism here, or parallel, right? So he says, right, v'gamav mishcha, misha yesh lo chamor v'gamav, v'natan chamor me'achorav l'moshcho, puts a cow v'noten chamor me'achorav l'moshcho. He now puts, if you put your donkey behind you to pull it, v'hagamal lefanav l'hanigo, lo ze ma'alech mishcha, v'lo hagamal v'hanaga. Right, if you try and do it the other way around now, you try and, So he says, yeah, chamar gamal. If you behave like a, okay, it's a little bit different. When I read the Mishnah, I said it differently. Chamar gamal, you haven't got to read both of them. You are a chamar to gamal. A gamal you want to pull and a donkey you want to push. You end up trying to push, you're trying to pull the camel. Push the donkey or pull the camel. If you do the opposite way around, it won't work. Basically, that's what you're doing over here. You're neither getting the camel to walk nor the donkey to walk. You basically... he says, Safek Rabbi Yehuda says, but we're not sure where your Eruv is, it's a Chamar Gamal. We're not sure now, is it a camel, is it a donkey, are you walking it, are you pushing it? Is it an Eruv, not an Eruv? Therefore, basically we're saying, it's not an Eruv, you haven't got anything. That's the euphemism that he used. Look at Rashi Abi, yeah? The Misapkelan, he can lay the Eruv hachanami beito, umi hacha yesh lo apayim ama, lo kol ruach, vifshin apayim shem bebet vahala. Or shem lo kan, or maybe not, umi beito yesh lo apayim lo kol ruach, v'lo kan, it doesn't work. Umachmat safek ze, nesar lelech el apayim ama, shebein beito le Eruvo. And look what happens over here. So it's a bigger problem. It's not just that you haven't got an Eruv. If it's a safek, according to them, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not just that you haven't got an Eruv. It's worse than not having an Eruv. Klav mentioned previously that if you only made it 800 meters, you can just walk 1,200 to the other side, right? Umbers. Now you're stuck. Because what's the problem here? On the one hand, you're saying like this. I've now, here's my house, and there's my Eruv. If I know that that isn't an Eruv, then I can go from my house in that direction 2,000 Umbers, and in that direction 2,000 Umbers. If I know that that isn't Eruv, I can only go in that direction 2,000 Amas, right? And then from that Eruv, I can go there, but I can't go in that direction. Now, I'm not sure that it's an Eruv over there. So I definitely can't go that way 2,000 Amas because it might be an Eruv there. So I've really only got this 2,000 Amas between me and my Eruv. I can't go past that Eruv because it might not be a good Eruv. I can't go back in the other direction because it might be a good Eruv and it's limited me going in that direction. You got it? Everybody? One more time? Robert?
No, like if you get from your house, you can go in any direction.
No, you can't. If I've got an Eruv, let's say I'm coming to you.
One second, isn't 2,000 Amas your tomb?
2,000 Amas is, I've now, normally 2,000 Amas my tomb. If I never made an Eruv anywhere.
So once you have your house, you can go in 2,000 Amas in any direction?
Not if I've got an Eruv in that direction. If I made an Eruv now, go, if I make it.
Limits?
Sure. An Eruv, if I've got an Eruv going north, 2,000 Amas, it means that where is my house really? My house is my Eruv. So when I came from the Eruv back to my house, I've already gone 2,000 Amas from my Eruv. So my house now is at the end of my Eruv. It's the end of my Tchum. We discussed it a couple of days ago. So my new house becomes the middle.
Resets your...
Exactly, reset yourself. So your Eruv now allows you 2,000 Amas in each direction. So when I came back to my house, I'm at the end of my Tchum. So if I've got a Safek Eruv, I'm not sure that Eruv works. On the one hand, if it might be a good Eruv, therefore I'm at the end of that Tchum. If it doesn't work, right, the most I can go, if I never had Eruv at all, then I could go 2,000 Amas that way as well. Because I don't know if it's working or not, I can't go the opposite direction. I can only go between me and the Eruv up and down. That's the best.
So, because if you want to move like 800 meters in one direction, but then you also want to be able to move in the opposite direction, if you can only move your Eruv in one direction, now you've gone and set your house as being the border of that Erev, and you can't move in that.
Right, to the border. You've got to be decisive. You've got to make... Halacha forces you to make up your mind, right? Like his Karen. So now...
You have to consent to the Erev. Your neighbor can't put up the Erev and force you to accept it.
It's an Erev Tchumin. It's not an Erev, it's not a wall. It's an Erev you put down food somewhere. You going out of 2,000 Amit Tchumin, Erev Tchumin.
That's right. But so you have to consent to it. You have to agree to be a part of it.
Why part? You and
I... individual Erev.
Only me and you. It's only for you, David. You make Erev for you. There's no partner here in it. It's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's your partner.
Done.
Okay. So now, okay, so Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Mesabek, Eruv, Kasher, Amar Rabbi Yossi, okay, now, Gemara, Nitgalgel, Chutz, Tchum, now we get in the Gemara. So now this Eruv rolled out of the Tchum, Amar Rabbi, Lo Shano, Enesh, Nitgalgel, Chutz, La Arba, Amot. Aval Atok, Dalet, Amot, Hanotein, Eruvo, Yesh, Lo, Gamas. Rabbi says, first, just bear in mind, that even though you put it over here, and that was exactly the 2,000 Amar meter spot, and it rolled, it's only probably rolled more than 4 Amars out of you, but if it rolled 2-3 Amars, don't forget, don't worry, because your Eruv isn't exactly a particular spot, it's a spot with 4 Amars around it, so it's okay. That was a partial. Now, for Alav, now if something fell on top of it, it says, we think that here in the species, there's not a big deal, just go and take it, so it's covered by the gal, but you could simply... just dig it out. Look at Rashi. How by Shakalei? Uktani Vaditin. Einu Eruv Mishum Til Tulavani. The Shvut the Rabbanan. We thought there was a stones on top of it, and what was the problem? It's because of Muktza, and Muktza ben Hashmashot wouldn't be a problem because we said Lo Gazur Rabbanan ben Hashmashot. So that's why is it a big deal? She says this maybe is proof that Manitin the Lo Rabbi Kerebi. Do you Rabbi Hamar called Vashu Mishum Shvut Lo Gazur Rabbanan Hashmashot? Someone says no, it's not that. I feel like I'm a Karebi. It's even Rebbe. Why? Lord Shechet Debayi Marav Chatzina, which when you need a spade or a shovel. How do they translate there, Marav Chatzina, by the way? Spade, shovel, hoe, plow, what is it? Something like that. I don't know what that, I mean, what is it?
A hoe and a pick.
A pick. Okay. An axe, okay. Marav Chatzina. And so now the Gemara says, okay. Now we ask the implicit question, why do we need two of the same halachas? The one being rolled out of the tchum and the one being covered up with a gal. What's the difference? It wasn't that tricky. Why? Di'italanit galgel mishum de later gabei. If we just learned the first halacha that it rolled away, right? Di'italanit galgel. We'd say, what's the problem? It's not near you. Aval nafalav gal. If it was near you, but just it was covered, de etay gabei. Aim levi eruv. Say, you know what? Either you can't get it. It's a good eruv. We could say hoil, because it's right there. You could, in theory, you could have got to it. Di'italanit nafalav gal mishum de mixer. And if on the other hand, if we just learned the halacha that it was something fell in and covered it. Would have said why? Because it's covered. Aval nid galgel zivlin ata zika. But if it rolled over, you'd say sometimes a zika thing is a lizard or some right. We'll bring it to you. Aimel have a eruv would be an eruv because you can see it. Therefore, we need to learn both alochas. In both cases, it's not a kosher eruv. Okay. Or nisraf or no zika's wind. Sorry, wind. Right, wind. The wind would blow it to you. Right, right. In a while, zikit in Hebrew isn't a lizard. A lizard is a zikit. I think a lizard is a zikit. That's why I got confused. But yeah, ati zika. Zika is wind, right? You guys didn't ati zika, the wind would blow it to you. You still have hope, so therefore you have good air. Okay. Or nishraf truma bitmet. Now we've got the case where it got burnt, or the truma was burnt, or it became tamet. So I said, lamali tane nishraf. Why do we have to learn here the din of nishraf? Why not just good enough nitma? Why do we have to learn burnt? Someone says, why? Remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon said, safek eruv kasher. So safek eruv, it's kosher even. He says, why? Lehodiacha kochod Rabbi Yossi. He drew the koch of Rabbi Yossi. What's the koch of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi said, look at Rashi. Da'afagav da'enu ba'olam. Even though, what's our safek? When you come to look at it now on Shabbos, it's gone. It's been burnt. It's cinders. It's just ash. Nonetheless, lo mitasar, it's still a kosher eruv because of safek. And so the Gemara says, v'tana truma. And why do we learn that truma bichlal? Truma v'nitmeit and became tamei l'dicha kochod Rabbi Meir. Rabbi, what was the koach of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was the one in the Mishnah there who was machmir. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Areze chamar gama." Not an eruv. Rabbi, what's his koach? He's being machmir l'dicha Rabbi Meir. How's that? Look at Rashi. The af agav the yeshna, but even though you can see it there, right? It's tumah shenitmeit. The yesh lo mar hamidenu ben hashmashot al cheskata. And we could have a situation and say, "What's the problem?" When we stuck the eruv there just before we went away, it was tahor. And therefore, we've got a chazoka that I left with their tower. Why should it be tamei now? The kodim lachayim tohora hayta afilu achi lo aminan chazaka lekula. Remarry still machmir, and he says no, we don't rely on that chazoka, and it is tamei. So we see that we learned both nitmate and Nisraf, two examples in the Tumah, one to tell us the Koach Rabbi Yossi, how makil he is, and one to tell us the Chumrah Rabbi Meir, how machmir he is. Remember that Rabbi Meir is Stam Mishnah Rat Rabbi Meir. So we have a name in the Mishnah, the Tani is Mishnah Rabbi Meir. We'll see in a second. The Rabbi Meir is Sveika L'chumrah. Is that a fact? That Rabbi Meir holds Sveika L'chumrah? It seems to be a bit outrageous. But now we've got a Mishnah, the Gemara Mishnah here in Mikvahot. Tamei Shiarad Litbol, a Tamei guy himself who goes into the Mikvah to Toivel, Safek Tavasa, and I can't remember. Did I Toivel, didn't I Toivel? And he had a moment of dementia there. Right, but Afilu Tava, even though he toiveled, but now Safek Tava Ba'arbim, Safek Lotava Ba'arbim, say, he's not sure now when he gets out the water, was it a kosher mikvah, wasn't it? It's a Safek, we can't tell. V'chein, or there were shnei mikvah, another example, there were two mikvot there, v'chat yesh Ba'arbim B'seya, v'chat Eimim Ba'arbim B'seya, one was a kosher mikvah, wasn't a kosher mikvah, v'tava b'chavit, knew he toiveled in one of them, and he was deaf as him in Tava. Right, Tanakama there says, Sveik or Tame. So now in all these cases, we say, Safek Tame. Right, and now that Mishnah says, "What are we speaking about?" Betume chamura, about betume kala kagon shachal ochlin temayin. But if it's a tume kala, meaning Rashi says, "Via tume chamura she nitma betume taat mitumah min haTorah kagon avatuma." When does the Tanakhama say there that he's machmir? If it was an issue, it was a tume doraita like a zav, right? It's pashut safek chumra safek doraita lechumra. However, if it's betume kala, look at Rashi. The tume kala Rashi says, "Drabanani." Right, like a tumah divrei sofrim, some sort of tumah of a drabanan. Kegon shachal ochlin tamein, he ate tamei food. V'shata mashkin tamein. V'havar or shov rabo b'mayim shuvin. Or he brought his head, he came into a mikveh which was mayim shuvin. Or shenafru ar oshov arubo shlosha lugin mayim shuvin. Or they threw on him the water, which would have been good if it was mayim from rainwater, but it was mayim shuvin. V'yarad lit bo, and then he went to toivel. And then safek tavas safek lo taval, v'afilu taval safek taval, b'arim sayah safek lo taval, b'arim sayah, all the same idea, b'chetzu mikvah, two mikvahs, yesh b'arim sayah, em, b'arim sayah, v'tala b'chat mev, el yodev, ez men taval, safek lo tahor. And Rabbi Yossi says, Tame, so we see in a safek drabanan, right, and a ruvin, at the end of the day, is a safek drabanan, Tana Kame here says, tahor, for a tamei kala. And Rashi says over here, right, Tahor v'stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So we assume that the Tanakhama of this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir over here says Tahor, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who says Metame, which is quite interesting because in our Mishnah Rabbi Yossi says Tahor. Rabbi Yossi is talking about a kasha eruv. You see over here, proper steer. We'll see that on not in today's daf, but Rashi says over here that we will ask the kasha. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Yossi, Betame, Ula Kamen, Makshinan, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi. We will ask the Kash Rabbi Yossi, Haka Rabbi Yossi, yes, yes, Tame, and then our Mishnah is Meikil on the Durabana. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's answer is like, Ksav Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds Tchumin Doraitan, you know, like Rabbi Akiva. That Tchumin is Doraitan. That's why in our Mishnah he's Machmir, even though here he's Meikil, because there it's Pashut that it's a Tumakala, which is a Durabana, and our Mishnah holds Tchumin Doraitan, which is not so easy to say, right? Look at Rashi there, Tchumin Doraita, V'Sveikin Doraita L'Chumra. So now the Gemara asks the most obvious question. V'Savar, Rabbi Meir, Tchumin Doraita? Does Rabbi Meir hold that Tchumin is Doraita? We learned the Halach Shabbos, we never saw once Rabbi Meir. We saw lots of times Rabbi Akiva. We never ever saw Rabbi Meir hold this Doraita. V'Har T'nah, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah over here. We'll see that early in this Masechta, and Daf Nun Chet. T'nah, Im Ein Yachol Lahav Li'or Bezo. We'll explain this in a moment. Am Rabbi Dostai Bar Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir. Shamati she makadrin baharim. Vizal of tchumin raita mi makadrin. What does makadrin mean? There's a way that you measure an eruv tchumin. Okay, we'll probably learn later. Not probably. We'll learn later on in the Gemara. Look at Rashi Avia. Yvan yachol lahavli'o. Lahavli'o means to swallow up into the area. Now, just very quickly, when you come to measure eruv, we'll see the Gemara that tells you have to use a rope of 50 amas long. That's why you measure. If you want to measure the tchum of a city, so you're measuring if you want to see from here to, I don't know, let's say to Ranana, I want to measure the distance. I've got to measure ropes of 50 amas at a time. I take two guys, we hold it like a morded would go out, right? And he'd take a rope of 50 amas, and I'd stand here, he'd stand here, and he'd put a peg. I then come there, put a peg. Now, what's the issue of a rope of 50? Sometimes they're like little mounds in the road, sometimes little nooks in the road. So when I'm going to walk, let's say I have to walk now to Ranana. So I'm going to go like, if you're coming to Fish Arbor, you're going to like go down the side. There's like that rainwater furrow, you know, that runs along the street. So when you walk like this and like this, so if you actually count the steps that you're walking, you're going to get to 1,000 to 2,000 amas much quicker than if you just take the way that the crow flies. Correct? Like, you know, when you put in ways and you put in an address into ways, so it says here 12 kilometers. And then it starts calculating the route and suddenly it becomes 15.7 kilometers. Why? Because 12 kilometers is the way that the crow flies. So from here to there, air view is 12 kilometers. But now because I'm going to go the road this way and it's a one way and around that side and the traffic circle upside becomes 15 kilometers. So the same idea, if you've got to count the actual steps, you know, when you get in Amas, and you've got to walk like this, then walk down the thing and then like this. And then maybe like a bit of a mound, you've got to climb over the mound and like this. But actual surface distance from here to there in a straight line, but if it was just completely flat, it would be 2,000 Amas. You measure an Eruv completely flat. So I ignore those little going down the bridge and over the mound, etc. I take, how far is it from here? It's a big kula, right? So now what is my vlien? Let's say there's a mountain in the way. Do I now take my rope and go up the mountain, down the mountain, and add on all those ummas and make my 2,000 ummas really much closer? So here we're seeing over here that Rabbi Meir says that Shamati Shemakadrin Bay, we look at the mountain, if there's a big, nice tunnel through the mountain. Right, but that's so long as, if I look at me for a second, if this is the mountain, from this side of the mountain, that side of the mountain is not more than 50 ummas. In other words, if my stream could have gone straight through the mountain, then I just ignore this whole mound and I go, poop, right through the mountain. I think that's what Rashi said. Look at Rashi over here. It says like this. Imani yachol havlio, right? He says, so he says over here, if you aren't able to mavlio bezor, look at Rashi over here. Beperikat said Ma'ariv, we'll send up Nun Zayin. He ayah mo dead, rotzeh laseyem tchum ha'il, vasot sham siman. He wants to get into the tchum and make the siman. Utnan ein mo ledin ele bechevel shel 50 amas. Ve'igir legai o legader meshupas. He arrived at some sort of like mound or sloped fence. Ve'achol ha'avlio bechevel shel ha'chamish ha'mavlio. If he can now just suck it into, in other words, his 50 amas would be like a straight line. He does it. Ve'afapi she'shipu'o marbet ha'derech. Even though the slope, right, enlarges, extends the area of the way. Imaya moded shipur mikan valiatole ever hasheni yeshpo meya or matayim amas loich patlan. So if we would have counted the going up and down, it would have come to 100 or 200 amas. We ignore it. We say it's 50 amas, right? Hoyo misvato el svato ein yoter mi50 ama from the bottom to the bottom, either side, from the lip of it. Vim enu yachol avliyo bechevel shel 50 ama. Now, what if you can't use it with a chevel of 50 amah? That's what he's talking about over here, right? So he says over here, im ein yachol avliyo bezor. Amrav dostai, look, bezor amrav dostai baribiana mishu bimeir shamati shemekadrim harib lo mavliyo bechevel aroch yoter mi50. We don't use a longer one. Dehatnan ein moledin bechevel 50. Velo moded kol midrachok kamot shehu. Skip down Rashi all the way quickly to the bottom there. V'lashon mekadrin, says Rashi, kamot nokvin. You make a hole, you pierce it. The mashuvi that ahar kilu hu nakuv makom amad raglah elyon v'nimtza libo makom shraglav umdot achshav kshenot neachev lachshav kneged makom. Basically, it's if you make, you're holding the mountain, you're standing and you're holding it like this, just ignore the mountain, we go right across the mountain. So now how can we do that? The Gemara's question is as follows. V'im sal kedatach tchumin doraita? And if tchumin was the doraita, like we made, what, mima kadrim, we're just going to cut short distances and cut corners with Eruv Tchumin? Doraita, where in the world will you get away with something like that? Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Barvu, Ain Makadrin, Lo Ba'arei Miklat, Lo Ba'eg La'arufa, Mneshen Shel Torah. We see on the contrary, that Rabbi Nachman said, when it comes to measuring a distance, remember, Arei Miklat, right? You want to know, because it's very important, Rashi over here, that the Tchum of Arei Miklat, right, I skipped over there, look at the four lines, the wide lines. The Tchum Arei Miklat, the Kaim Land, Keshem Sha'ir Koletet, Kach Tchuma Kolet. You got 2,000 Amas outside the Ir Miklat, that if the Shogeg, the killer, is running away and he already arrives in that Tchum, and just before he's about to get to the Tchum, the Goel, Adam, is running after him, but he manages to get into the Tchum before he gets there, he's already home and done, he doesn't have to get into the walls of the city. So we have to know the Tchum of the Arei Miklat. And Eglarufa, you know, if a person gets killed, they measure the closest town to the body. It's also a doraita measurement. You can't do havla'ah. You can't do makadrin. You can't use this concept of piercing through the mountains. You take the whole distance of your walk, Right? So we see over here that when it comes to Doraita, you can't do these things. So Rabbi Meir says it's a Doraita. How come he allows you, Ken, to make these piercings? He wants to look, Asher. Not a big deal. Different story altogether. Why? How did they hide Rabbi? The ones we married, the one is Rabbi Meir's teacher. They come and say, you can see it nicely in the Mishnah. Diktani bezo am Rabbi Dustai bar Yanai mishum Rabbi Meir shamati shemakadrin barin shma mina. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Look at this, Shamati, Rabbi Meir Ka'amale, Veshamati Kilamema Shamati Rabotai. Velidilos, Rabbi Meir, when he said in our Mishnah, look at our Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, sorry, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Umrim, Hareze Chamar Gamal, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Umrim, Safek, Erev Kasher, and Rabbi Yossi, Mishum, Chamishat, Kaid, no, let's start over there. Where was it that we said over here, Shamati? Yeah, Rabbi Meir, Shamati Shemekadrin Baharim. Rabbi Meir was the one who says Makadrim Barim, so there's no such read. Rabbi Meir says it's not, he doesn't believe in Makadrim Barim, that's his Rabbeim. He holds that it is a Doraita. There's no story between these two Mishnahs, because the Mishnah on the Eruvin, on making an Eruvin, got piercing holes, is Rabbi Meir's Shitta, no, it's Rabbi Meir's teacher's Shitta, not his Shitta, therefore his Machmir, the bright, this Mishnah which we learned later on in Zion, is not his Shitta, it's just there's no story between the two of them. How do you know about that? Okay. Now, this is interesting, I wanted to point out over here. I saw a Likute Rashi over here, which we've seen before, by the way, from Masechet Chulin. It says, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Kol Eched Iktani Mishum. Whenever we see that somebody's saying Mishum in the name of Lo Shama Mipiv, he never actually heard it himself. Ele Mipi Acherim She'amru Mipiv. He heard it from people who heard it from him. So Rabbi Meir says over here, Shamati Mipiv. Not Rabbi Meir actually hear it. He heard that somebody else said that his Rebbe said it. Okay. So that even makes it a bit more difficult, but nonetheless, we see over here that there's no stira between the two of them. Okay, Shamatim and Shwamina. Verami Doraita, Doraita, Rabbi Meir. So now we've got another question. Ah, now you're going to tell me that it's a Doraita and a Doraita? But now we're going to steer Rabbi Meir being a Doraita. It's none. Naga bechad balaila. If you touch the guy at night, right? Touch somebody at night, right? Look at Rashi over here. Okay, it's still Rabbi Meir here, assuming that he holds that these things, that these fake is Doraita. Naga bechad balamecher. You touch somebody at night, Rabbi, right? Balaila. Enu yodei im chai im mate. Now, when we say via naga, right, we don't know if the person was dead or alive when we touched him. And in the morning, wake up, we see the guy's dead. And let's say, I don't know, you shared a bed with him, and you touched him before he went to bed, and you rolled over and touched him. And you weren't sure he was alive or dead, and then in the morning, you wake up, and see he's dead. So now, do we say he was dead last night, and I'm to my mate because I touched him? Forget about oil, you're sleeping outside under the sun, okay, under the stars. We marry Metaher, Chaim et Tmein. Rabbi Meir says that you Metaher, and Chaim say you Tamein. Now, this is a Safek, remember? It's a Safek. In our Mishnah, when it was a Safek, the Eruv was there, Eruv wasn't there. Rabbi Meir said Safek, we all use the Eruv. But here we see that even if it's a Doraita, Rabbi Meir says with regards to Tuma, Safek, he seems to go after Chazoka. Remember, we have the Rashi that explained that there was a Chazoka there. Right, when you put the Eruv down, it was a chazoka. Remember the third line top of Rashi is Afilu achi lo amrinan chazaka lekula. We don't say chazoka yet. Yeah, we got a, what was a chazoka? Rimei says that you don't have to be metahe, metame. Why? Look at Rashi. Remember metahe. The Amar ukmei acheskatei. Ve'et mochayaya. Amar besfeiket doraita ve'ikah chazaka lekula. Even though we got a safek doraita, we've got a chazoka lekula. Right, Aziri Meir batar chazoka. So why do we say that mission as well? Maditi nami nezer batar chazaka. The chazaka was a chazok mikare ki anach hatam tar. When I put the eruv down, yes, there was tahor. So you're right. I've got a safek now. Was it metame ben hashmashot or afterwards? But when I put it down, it was a chazoka tahor. So why don't we say there's a safek now? We've got a safek doraita. It's going to be mentioned as a safek. Is the eruv is a doraita? No problem. So we've got a safek doraita with a chazoka. So shouldn't the chazoka should help me now make it into a kula? Question clear? Yes? He says, no, this is as follows. What's going to be a Mishnatenu? No. It's not so simple. Why? Because really there's no chazoka. Because we know for a fact there was this dead sheretz on the air of the Holo Ben Hashmashot. He says, I don't understand. Look at Rashi, Kol Ben Hashmashot, Mitchilato V'atzofo, Devadai Itmi Mi Be'od Yom, the tchilat ben hashmashot me'er shabbatu. Pashut that it was a safek. That's pashut, that's tamei. So I don't understand. I hachi, b'hale Rabbi Yossi, safek, eruv kashe. You're going to tell me Rabbi Yossi would say such a case when there was a sheretz there, the hale ben hashmashot. Rabbi Yossi going to tell us that it's a safek and it's mutar? What, Rabbi Yossi is ad kerekach? So remember, Rav Yosef Ravitravai, you hachem b'shtei kita eidim askinis. Now we're talking about two different groups of eidim. Achat omeid mibod yom nikma, v'achat omeid b'shechashaycha. Then one says there was mibod yom l'grashi, achat mibod yom, u'bahapig, listen to my chulubi, Mary and Yossi. Rav Yossi sabar, okay, trey, lebahadai trey, v'okay, truma, chaske kamar. Rav Yossi says, listen, I've got two eidots. One eidim says it was, the whole of the Ben Hashmash, one said it wasn't. So basically they knock each other out. Now I've got a chazok, it was tahor before Shabbos, therefore I go after the chazoka. V'chi'an chatorhi, Rabbi Des Meir Savar, kevan de'ika kat, de'mafkele me'cheskatei, right, b'sveiket right, lo ashilim bat ha'chazoka. And Rabbi Meir says, no, because I have got, even though I've got two katim eidim, the one says that it wasn't there, the whole of Ben Hashmash, this sheret. But there's one group of eidim says it was, so that's enough to outdo the chazoka. So I've got no longer a chazoka. All I've got now is a group of eidim to tell me that it was tamei, the whole of Ben Hashmashot, of Abin Ogeya. But so that's why there, Rabbi Meir says that it is asu. It's we can't use the eruv. But with regards to Lila, with regards to our case over here, beechad belaila, the end cut more tilumi chazkov. There's no eidim telling us that the guy was dead before Shabbos or alive before Shabbos. Mokpin alei kol alaila bechazkato. We go after the chazoka that he was alive. By the Shabbat tziatolum, it isn't. We don't go after the time we found him. Dikel meimer hashta hu demai. We could say now he died. He wasn't dead. Already lost that. End of over here.